Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live down the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again as we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
Good evening. Welcome to Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. We are streaming live down the internet from London. This show is dedicated to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. On tonight's show, we will discuss the subject, the Seventh-day Sabbath in history. We will be studying what the Bible teaches. We will discuss this subject tonight with Elder Ray Dicardo. Have a pen and paper ready to write down some notes. Let's now call Elder DiCarlo and see if he's available.
Hello?
Hello, good evening. Elder DiCarlo, you are live on Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. How are you this evening, Elder DiCarlo?
Fine, thank you, John. I'm doing well.
Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm very well, by God's grace. Yes, looking forward to the broadcast tonight. Well, Elder DiCarlo, we'll be discussing these questions together. When is the seventh-day Sabbath first mentioned in the Bible? Why does God want people to remember it? What blessings are assured to those who keep God's seventh-day Sabbath holy? How does God identify his people who keep the seventh-day Sabbath? And where does the Bible state that we are to keep the seventh-day Sabbath today? So, Elder DiCarlo, shall we have a word of prayer as we open the discussion tonight?
Our Father in heaven, once again, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for all that you have ever done and continue to do for us. And tonight, dear Lord, we're taking up a very important subject.
Yes, sir.
We do pray that you'll bless us, guide us, and may all things be according to thy word. And so we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Elder DiCarlo, when is the seventh-day Sabbath first mentioned in the Bible?
Well, John, I really do appreciate that question. I have been thinking about that question for some time, actually, regarding this subject.
Yes.
If you look in Genesis chapter 2, and this is the first time that you're going to find the mention of the seventh-day Sabbath.
Yes.
This is Genesis chapter 2. We're looking here now verses 1 through 3. Let's read the first three verses, and then we'll make some comments accordingly.
Right.
The scripture says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." So here you have the first mention of the seventh-day Sabbath. Now, what's interesting, this is a direct parallel to Exodus 28 through 11, which is the Ten Commandments being described there. And this specifically 8 through 11, referring to the seventh-day Sabbath.
Yes.
It has almost the exact same language. Now, what's interesting about this, though, in Genesis chapter 2, the only people in existence at this time are Adam and Eve.
Yes.
So this clearly indicates that the Sabbath is not a Jewish institution. For the Sabbath existed before there was ever a Jew.
Amen.
So this is very clear. We know the origin. We know the contextual setting of this whole subject regarding the Sabbath. And so it's very, very clear.
Yes. Yes. And listeners, as Elder Ricardo has said, open your Bibles and look to see and read the text that we've just shared. Because as Elder Ricardo said, the seventh-day Sabbath was established by God before there was a Jew. So it's not for the Jews alone. God had established it for all mankind, Adam and Eve, of whom were the heads, the original people that were upon this earth. So it's as simple as that, isn't it, Elder Ricardo, basically?
Well, you're right, John. It is. It's a very fascinating subject when you look at it, particularly when you're looking at the origin of it. And we find it, as I say, right here in Genesis chapter 2.
Yes.
This Sabbath was instituted by God, clearly, as he indicated, he had finished his work. And so just from the context of this, we know the Sabbath was instituted as a memorial of the creative work that he had just accomplished.
Yes.
And so when you look at that, and then you as you trace out the development of the human race through Adam and Eve, you find that the Sabbath was kept by God's people faithfully. And then, of course, you know, as time went on, sadly to say, it had been lost by the masses of the human race. But God has always had a people who's been faithful and true in observing his day. We'll talk about that, by the way, as we get on a little bit further on in our subject.
Yes. And once again, listeners, the Lord states in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 8 to 11, the first point he says it's to remember. To remember. Now, Elder Ricardo, now this moves us on to the next question. Why does God want people to remember it?
Well, you know, I alluded to the first one of the things that why God wants us to remember, and I want us to go first of all to the Gospel of Mark.
Yes,
this is a very important passage, needs to be understood, and again, it reinforces what we've just stated about Genesis chapter 2. This is Mark chapter 2, and we're looking now here at verse 27, Mark 2:27.
Yes.
And this, of course, is the Jesus speaking. And Jesus said unto them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath."
Yes.
So we find two very important things here. We know that Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath day, and that makes it the Lord's day. That's his day. That's not
yes.
your day. It's his day. He owns that day. He created the Sabbath as a memorial. And it's very interesting, John, when you
yes.
look at this here in verse 27, the Sabbath was made for man, meaning in the benefit of man. In other words, God instituted the Sabbath for the human race. And by the way, the Greek word there for man means mankind.
Interesting.
Once again, reinforcing the concept that it's not a Jewish institution.
Right.
This is an institution that was instituted there in the Garden of Eden before there was ever a Jew. So you've got a clear understanding that in Mark 2:27 and 28, the day that God has instituted to be a memorial for the human race is the Lord's day. That's the Sabbath day. Now the question is, a memorial of what? You see, what is it a memorial of?
Yes.
Well, in Exodus chapter 20, which you just referred to earlier, and I want us to quickly go over there because it's very important to look at this, and we're going to start with verse 8. This is Exodus 20, verse 8. This is one of the things that God wants us to remember. He says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it, thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For," the reason why, "for
yes.
6 days the Lord made heaven and earth and the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So we see here that the Lord instituted the Sabbath as a memorial of creation, that God is our creator.
Yes.
Now we didn't come, through the evolutionary concepts of mankind. This is Darwin theory of the origin of species of mankind. Look, friends, let me say this very clear. Had mankind from the beginning been faithful and in keeping the seventh-day Sabbath holy as God required, there'd be no such thing as an atheist. Evolution would not exist, because every week you would be reminded you came from the hands of an almighty God, and that God created you, and that you didn't exist or come into being based on an accident or some, from the monkey age or whatever. This is completely contrary to Scripture.
Yes.
So, number one, why did God institute the Sabbath as a memorial? For creation. All right, let's look at something else. Go to Deuteronomy. Now, this is a very interesting passage in Deuteronomy chapter 5, because here, again, we have the repeating of the Ten Commandments by Moses. And I want to show you here in verse 14. Let's go to verse 12. Let's look at this.
Yes.
Deuteronomy 5:12. It says, "Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy ox, nor thine ass, nor anything of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that," now this is the key, please,
yes,
remember now, here's the key, "and remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out from thence through the mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commands thee to keep the Sabbath day." So what is he saying? Just as God delivered miraculously the children of Israel from the bondage of slavery,
yes,
so we must remember that God has delivered us from the slavery of sin.
Amen.
And so the Sabbath is a memorial that God has delivered us from the bondage of sin. And so this is a very important reason why we keep the seventh-day Sabbath. It's not just creation. It's that God has delivered us from the bondage and slavery of sin.
Yes.
And then, of course, we go over to Ezekiel, another wonderful, wonderful passage in Ezekiel chapter 20. This is a very important passage, and we're looking here at verse 12, Ezekiel 20:12. Okay?
Yes.
And this is very important. He says, "This, moreover, also I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know." In other words, why did he give them the Sabbath? That they might know,
yes,
that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. So again, here's another reason why we keep the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is a sign, a memorial of the sanctifying power of God in those who surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So there's the third reason. And then I'm going to recommend that your listeners go to read Hebrews chapters 3 and 4.
Yes.
And because in those two chapters, and we don't have time to read both chapters, unfortunately, but if you carefully read those two chapters, it tells you why the children of Israel could not enter into God's rest. It's because they were, in essence, trying to work their way into God's favor.
Yes.
And God says, you can't do it. And so he instituted the Sabbath to remind us that we are to cease from our works as God has done his, so that we might remember not to rely on our works as a means of salvation,
yes,
but rather rest in God's grace as a means by which he redeems us. So the Sabbath is a memorial to remind us that we're saved by grace and not by works.
Yes.
And so that you'll find there in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. And so really we have four vital points. Creation, number two, we have that God has delivered us from the bondage of sin.
Yes.
Number three, that he is the sanctifier of our souls. And number four, that he saves us by grace and not by works.
Yes. Amen. Elder Ricardo, thank you for breaking that down so simply for us all to understand. And again, I'll reiterate what Elder Ricardo said, that the seventh-day Sabbath, it's a sign of God's creative power. It's also a sign of his redemptive power. it's also a sign of his sanctifying power, and that we're saved by his grace, you see? And so, well, Elder DiCarlo, now what blessings are assured to those who keep God's seventh-day Sabbath holy?
Well, obviously, when you look at the word the Sabbath itself, and as we have just read on multiple times, you know, it says that God rested from his works, and yes. and that rest is a very vital key to the blessings that God will bestow upon. He says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy yes. work, but on the seventh day we're to rest. And yes. so because God has pronounced a blessing on the Sabbath day, and therefore that blessing is bestowed upon all who observe the Sabbath as God has required. So the blessings that come with that is that rest, that peace that Jesus has promised us, that if we come to him just as we are, yes. he'll give us rest. You know, and that, of course, I'm referring to there very clearly is over in Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 29. So, but that's one thing. That's a wonderful thing. But if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 58, and this here, it really helps you to understand some of the blessings. And again, by the way, these are just some of the blessings that come with keeping the Sabbath. So one is a physical rest. You need some rest. Number two is the rest of spiritual. You need to be revitalized and nurtured, spiritually speaking. And the Sabbath is a beautiful time for that. But in Isaiah 58, he says this in verse 13. And this is where we're going to start. It says, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thine pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then, now this is the key now.
Yes.
Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. In other words, you'll find joy in the Lord. They're rejoicing when you keep the Sabbath. There's a happy, peaceful existence and experience that comes along. And he says, and I will cause you, now this is what the Lord's going to do for you. Right. I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob, thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. He's telling you that God says, I'm going to bless you abundantly.
Yes.
I'm going to bless you abundantly. There is a blessing that comes in keeping the Sabbath.
Yes. Amen to that. Yes. Elder DiCarlo, can we turn to Psalm 37, verse 4? Because I found this text as I was looking at the subject this week. And I think it's fitting to fit this in accordance to what you've shared. Because...
Okay.
Yes, Psalm 37, verse 4. Because the Bible is its own expositor, its own interpreter.
Amen. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord,
yes.
and he shall give the desires of thine heart. Beautiful.
Yes, you see?
Boy, that does dovetail very nicely.
Yes, you see, because many people have this misconception that serving God doesn't bring any real benefits, and that God doesn't really know what the person really desires deep down. But the Lord does. And it's nothing immoral, nothing sinful that God is going to give you, but that which will completely fulfill your life, you see. And this is one of the promises that comes to faithful obedience to the God of heaven. So I just thought to share this text.
Amen. Oh, that was lovely, lovely.
Yes. So, well, I don't know if you have any more thoughts about this matter, or shall we move on to our next question now, which is, how does God identify his people who keep the seventh-day Sabbath?
Well, let me just say this as we before we move on to that. You know, the blessings that God, in the text that you just referred to here, you know, these blessings come in multiple ways.
Yes.
The keeping of the Sabbath. Anytime we render obedience unto the Lord, the blessings of God are abundantly beyond our imaginations.
Yes,
and as you stated, based on the scripture, God gives you the desires of your heart, those virtuous things, those good things.
Yes.
He heals marriages. He heals relationships. He heals various situations that may occur in your life. When we follow the Lord, rendering obedience to him, then the blessings of heaven are with us. And yes, that is untold. In other words, there's no way in which anybody can categorize all the blessings. These blessings are equal to that of heaven itself.
Yes. And you know, Elder Ricardo, I'll just say this is a testimony. What you've actually shared with the listeners is something that I was sharing with someone today, and the person may even be listening, that when we faithfully give ourselves to God, all the problems that we have in this life will be solved. This is what he promises to do. You see, it's just that we lack faith. We don't believe that God has the power to do all things for us. But these promises, and we can testify in our own lives that God has turned situations around that seemed impossible to. But he's done that when we've submitted our hearts and humbled ourselves to be obedient to his will.
Amen. Amen. Now, let's look at the question now, as you had indicated there,
yes,
regarding the nature of how God identifies his people. This is a very interesting thing, you know, the identification of the saints of the Lord.
Yes.
You know, many people identify in regard to being a Christian just by simply saying that they're a Christian. And don't misunderstand me, professing to be a follower of God is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
But that's not enough. Jesus said, by their fruits you shall know them. And so the manifestation of the evidence that one is truly a follower of God is not seen just in words, as I say, even as important that is.
Yes.
However, though, we must always remember it's more important in the action one takes. So, as they say, works speak louder than words. I mean, your actions, they speak so much more. Now, this issue here, if we go to Ezekiel chapter 20,
yes,
and we'll look here, we're going back into Ezekiel, and we're going to look this time at verse 20. So this is Ezekiel 20:20, and how does God identify those who keep the seventh-day Sabbath? So there is a way, and I'll show you this. Now notice what he says here in verse 20. Well, let's go to 19. It says, I am the Lord your God. Walk ye in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow my Sabbaths. And they shall be a sign, a seal or a mark, some means by which God identifies. He says, they shall be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I'm the Lord your God. So
yes,
here he says, look, when you keep the seventh-day Sabbath, it's going to be a sign between you and me. It's
yes,
my way of knowing who you are. It's also a way of you knowing that I am the Lord your God.
Yes.
So the Sabbath is a sign, a very important way, or a way in which God identifies his people. As a matter of fact, Isaiah 8:16, this is
yes,
a very interesting passage. In Isaiah 8:16, he says this, very fascinating, verse 16, make sure we get the right verse now. He says, bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples. That seal is the same concept of a sign.
Yes.
It's interchangeable. And that, of course, you can find in Romans chapter 4:11. So what you find here is that the law of God, which again, James 2:10 says that if you offend in one point, you're guilty of them all. So obviously all 10 commandments are viable. And so you find here that the seal of God, the Sabbath, the sign of God, is a way that God identifies his people. As a matter
yes,
of fact, in the book of Revelation, this is very interesting, Revelation. This actually, by the way, dovetails a little bit even to the fifth question. But let's look here in the book of Revelation, and let's go to first here. We'll go to chapter 14, Revelation chapter 14. And let's look now at verse 12, Revelation 14:12, speaking of God's people at the end of time.
Yes.
He says this, here is the patience of the saints, here are they that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. So how does he identify them? How does God identify his people in the last days? He identifies them by keeping the commandments.
Yes.
And so we know that the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, is viable. It's not been abrogated by Christ in any way. It hasn't been changed and modified. It's still the same day that God instituted in the Garden of Eden.
Yes.
And so God identifies his people by those who keep the commandments. Matter of fact, if you go over to Revelation 12, he says the same thing. Look at this in verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Notice how he identifies his people now, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus.
Yes.
Satan is angry with the last day church. And the reason he's so angry with them is because they're keeping God's commandments, which includes the fourth commandment. And this is a clear indication that they are followers of God.
Yes.
And so God identifies his people in these last days precisely as we've just read out of the scriptures.
Yes. Yes, Elder DiCardo. And as you said, it now dovetails with this last question. Where does the Bible state that we are to keep the seventh-day Sabbath today?
Well, again, just based on the two verses we read just now at Revelation 14 and 12, both of them talking about God's church at the end of time, just
yes.
in the last days of Earth's history. So God, right there, just on those verses, and you don't even need anything else, but we're going to
yes.
read a few more passages. But those two passages there clearly indicate in the last days God's people will be keeping the seventh-day Sabbath. Therefore, God requires or expects you to do so. You know, you said something earlier, John, that I was very happy about, and that was the fact that you brought up in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, the word remember.
Yes.
The fact that God says remember clearly indicates he wants you to not forget something very important, and that is the keeping of the seventh-day Sabbath. And so the fact that it's just starts off, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, indicates God doesn't want you to forget it, especially in these last days. And, you know, John, I'll tell you, as I said before in James 2:10, we
yes.
know he who offends in one point is guilty of them all. I mean, referring to the law of God. If you break one of the commandments, you've broken them all.
Yes.
And so this is something really important. But let's look here at something else. If you go with me in Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, real quick here, and we're going to look at verse 20 and show you what Jesus says about this.
Right.
Matthew 24, verse 20. Now, this is Jesus prophesying 39 years after his death. Okay, this is the description of the destruction of Jerusalem,
right.
78 AD. This, remember, Christ was crucified in 31, so 39 years after his death. This is what Jesus expected of his people. He says this, and pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day.
Right.
So if Jesus expected his people to keep the Sabbath day 39 years after his death, that would put you in the New Testament era of
yes.
the apostolic church, which obviously clearly indicates that God expects you to keep it even in the last days. And
yes.
and let's not forget, by the way, let's not forget Luke 4:16. It was the custom, the Bible says, that Jesus kept the Sabbath. And Jesus is our example in all things, not in some.
Yes.
So, John, these are just some of the verses. And by the way, if you have time, real quick, Isaiah 66.
Yes.
Let me just give you this real quick. Isaiah 66. This is something very important. Isaiah 66. This is speaking about the new heavens and the new earth. And notice what it says here in verse 22. And as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, meaning from one month to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So in the new heavens and the new earth, we're going to be worshiping on the seventh-day Sabbath.
Amen.
So what makes you think that the day has been done away with? Even now, so it's not been abrogated. God expects you to keep it today.
Amen. The seventh-day Sabbath in history. Elder DiCardo, closing thoughts for this evening, please.
Well, John, you know, we've looked at the Sabbath from the Genesis account, there, right, of their the finishing of creation, the origin. We looked at why God wants us to remember it as a memorial, that he's our creator. He's the one who has brought us out of the slavery of sin, that he's the God who sanctifies us and the God who saved us by his grace. We know that there are that multiple blessings that come in keeping the Sabbath. That's very clear. And we also know that this Sabbath is a means by which God identifies his people. It is it's a sign or a seal by which God calls us to a memorial and commemoration of a covenant relationship. And then, of course, there's no doubt that the Sabbath is relevant for today. The world more than ever needs to come to its senses, and one of the ways it can do that is by observing the seventh-day Sabbath. And as I said before, in the new heavens and the new earth, we shall be keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath. So let's start practicing now.
Amen. Amen. Shall we end the discussion with a word of prayer, please, Elder, this evening?
Yes. Father in heaven, once again, we thank you for all that you've done and continue to do for us. I know we've discussed a very important topic, the seventh-day Sabbath, a commandment that has been, for the most part, neglected within Christianity. And I pray, dear God, that those who are listening here today will remember all that the Scripture teaches regarding these things. Help us, dear God, to honor your holy name by doing those things that are pleasing in your sight, especially observing the seventh-day Sabbath. So bless us now, we pray, and we thank you for all that you've done and continue to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Elder DiCardo, thank you once again for being a guest caller for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio. Listeners, if you have any questions or if you would like more information, please send an email to inquiries@wildernesspublications.org or you can send a text message to 079-44-062-786. If you live in the United Kingdom, please contact us with your name and address and we will send you a free tract called Jesus Kept Saturday Holy. Do you? Those who are living outside the UK can request for an electronic version to be sent to them free. If you have the Android app for Voice in the Wilderness Internet Radio, go to the ebook section, then find the title Bible Readings for the Home. At chapter 94, you'll find the subject, The Sabbath in History. This will give you more information about today's topic. On next week's show, we will continue to discuss the subject, The Seventh-day Sabbath in History. Well, that's it for tonight's show. Until next week, good night and God bless.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.
It's not just knowing about the doctrine in the Bible. That is not what we stand for here.
Streaming powerful, biblically based messages live and on the internet.
This congregation may never be gathered together again. As we see it.
Voice in the Wilderness, Internet Radio. Enlightening the world every week.